Welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage coming to you lively. By the way, that's true. If it wasn't for our special guest, there would be no Dave's Corner Garage. Because Crown's been with us, what, over 10 years?
Yeah.
Maybe 12? No, probably even more than that.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, as a company, I am never more proud to say the word Crown. They're great guys. They've got more morals than than the police department.
That's a nice comparison.
I saw him on the air last night, but we're not going there. Okay, we're going to talk right now just quickly with Ray Sanchez, who is the Mr. T or Mr. Transmission in Scarborough. Ray, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you on board. We were going to talk about transmissions, and you were talking the other day about transmissions actually overheating and being one of the major causes of failure.
Yes. Basically, I would think that the most common question I get from most of my customers these days is, why is my transmission only lasted X amount of time? Isn't it supposed to last longer? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we should be focused on an overheating and the importance of it today.
Well, how does someone know, for example, if they are doing damage to their car or if it is overheating or not?
Well, you're going to get some clunking, humming, grinding, shaking.
Well, but that's when it's too late already, isn't it, Ray?
No, not necessarily. I mean, it could
okay.
be a lot of variables that come into play here. I mean, there's a burning smell if it refuses to go into gear. A telltale sign is you might want to look for a fluid leak, something as simple as that.
So, in fact, if there is a leak, that would predicate, that would make this thing get worse, or that would be a reason for it happening?
If there is a leak, you definitely want to get it looked at before there's damage in the long run. I mean, it could be substantial damage. But what causes overheating that I wanted to get into is by far is the biggest source of overheating is towing over the recommended factory limits, along with carrying payloads. Basically, if somebody's overloading a vehicle, the torque converter causes a lot of heat, and this can cause a catastrophic failure, basically, to the transmission.
I don't know if people realize it, but you were talking about towing. So this is when people are, like, bringing their stuff back from the cottage. You know, is it a small trailer necessarily, or they're just towing a big boat? Like, what could cause it?
Well, towing is a big factor of as I say, for overheating. It's probably one of the most important things to look at, as well as overheating with a radiator. I mean, the cooling system itself. And this is something that we all specialize in, with respect to coolers, things like that. So each vehicle has different weights that are applied to it, whether it be a small car or a truck. If it has a towing package or if it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all part of the whole equation. But when a vehicle is carrying one or two people, its capacity is percentage-wise, it's not overheating at that point. But if you were to load it, let's say, with four or five people and maybe have a little utility trailer in the back, that's something you want to start addressing. It could cause substantial damage to the transmission, overheating of the seals. I mean, I can present some facts here. I mean, the transmission is designed basically to run at an ideal temperature, roughly about 195 degrees or, I guess, 91 degrees Celsius.
Right.
So for every 20 degrees your temperature goes up, the lifespan of that is cut by a factor of two.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's say at 220 degrees, expect your life the life of your transmission to last only half as long as it was designed for originally. So at 240, for example, it's only going to last a quarter of the original intended lifespan. And at 260, well, the seals are hard. You better get to a transmission shop.
All right. So let's say you've bought a relatively new car, and now your intention is, you know, let's say you're retired and you want to start pulling a trailer. But your car did not come equipped with any of this equipment. What do they have to add now to try to keep that temperature low?
Well, coolers are a key thing. It's a good way to compensate for excessive heat.
Uh-huh.
It's a good investment, and not all coolers are the same. There's different types of coolers.
Oh yeah, they got the styrofoam kind of coolers, eh?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can only get about 12 beers in those because
back plate design.
Oh, there's a different kind you're talking about.
Yes, there's different kinds, different thicknesses of the tubes. You can cool the transmission down various ways with a larger rad, a transmission oil cooler. You might want to put on an aluminum pan in some cases, depending on the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Aluminum dissipates heat, whereas most vehicles that have steel pans don't dissipate heat. A larger pan, again, a deeper pan would facilitate more oil.
Okay, so Ray, it sounds like the tranny shop really has the answers.
Yeah, he really knows his stuff. But yeah. What happened to the transmissions that you never service, like Cavaliers? You never touch them.
I service just about everything just as well as Cavaliers, believe it or not. We service everything.
So even the ones that you never are required to change the oil, you do actually do that?
Well, you know, preventative maintenance goes a long ways. I mean, everything has a filter for the most respect.
Yeah.
If the filter starts to get plugged up, would you change your engine oil? Would you not change your oil filter at the same time if there is a service?
You know,
the
years ago you do it every other change, but now you do it every change.
Well,
but you're right. I agree with what you're saying, but I'm asking. Okay, so you smoked your transmission. So I come inside and you smell the fluid is burned. Is a fluid change enough and a filter change enough to bring that tranny back?
If you get it in time, so that's the key thing. So this is why we have a maintenance program. If you let it go to the point where the damage is already done, you can't reverse that damage.
It's done.
It's done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think, as I say, maintenance is a big thing. If we don't look at our vehicle, especially if you just bought a vehicle from somewhere where you don't know the history of it,
right?
You know, that's going to play a big factor.
Which leads me to the next point. You've got equipment that will actually tell us how good the tranny is. You plug it in, and you can read all the sensors to see where they're at.
We have electronic scanning equipment to test the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Some vehicles you can actually check what they call CVI, Clutch Volume Index. I don't want to get too technical into that, but it gives us a wear factor, possibly, of what is going on inside the transmission. We look at the condition, whether it's a varnish. A good way for somebody that doesn't know if their transmission is, you know what, pull the dipstick if there is one, smell it. If it's a sweet smell, it's okay. If it smells like, you know, dirty socks or something smelly, then you know that you better take it to a transmission shop to have it looked.
I was going to say
that note.
That's the easiest way. Just go see Ray.
Yeah.
Ray, how do we find you in Scarborough? Where are you?
I'm on Shepherd Avenue, 4900 Shepherd Avenue East.
Mm-hmm.
I've been the same owner at the same location for 21 years.
Wow. You can't find a better job, eh?
Well, thanks.
All right, Ray, thank you very much for joining us on the weekend.
It's a pleasure.
Hey,
all right, well,
no problem.
We got to get him down here sometime. He sounds like he knows his gears.
This guy knows.
Well, his gears. That's what we're talking about, trannies. Come on.
Thanks, though.
Ray, thank you very much.
Ray, take care of yourself.
Never mind what's behind the curtain.
But there you go. Yeah, if you've got a question about whether your transmission needs service or if it's not working properly, go see your friends at Mr. Transmission.
Okay.
They're friends.
You know what? We've got people lined up on the phones. So why don't we talk to Neil first, who has a 2006 Nissan Quest.
And he's on a quest to find an answer.
Yes.
What's your question there, Neil?
Yeah. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Great.
Enjoy your show very much. You still there?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Actually, we fainted.
Yeah, there you go. I got a 2006 Quest. Has about 100, at least 230 clicks on it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
1,000.
Yes.
Took it in to have the snow tires put on yesterday. When I picked it up, my mechanic said, "Are you planning on heading south this winter?" And I says, "Well, yeah, we're going to go down in February." And he says, "You might want to consider another car."
Ooh.
He was nosing around underneath, and he said the subframe on the right side is rusted to the point where he wouldn't trust it on a long drive south.
Oh.
I went on the internet, and apparently the subframe on the Nissan Quest, up to 2004 is the only information I could get. Apparently, the AC drain rusts, at least drains onto and pools on the passenger side all the time,
mm-hmm.
causing it to rust over the years. Two questions. Not knowing what a subframe does, but having a sense that it's probably very important.
Mm-hmm.
Can a subframe be repaired?
Yes. Okay, we're replaced.
It replaced.
Yes.
Well,
it's a big job.
It depends on how many bags of gold you want to invest.
Well, that was my next question.
Yeah.
Does it cost? If I had planned on keeping the car two more years, I like to keep a car 10 years.
Well, what Dave has always said about these kind of things, before you want to make a big, you know, investment in your vehicle, is do an assessment, do an audit. You know, take it into your garage, have them look over the whole thing.
Yep.
And see what kind of shape it's in and how much you're going to have to spend down the road, okay? And then, of course, find out if the subframe is available, how much the subframe costs, and the labor. It's not in a lot of cases. It's not so much the part because it's just big pieces of friggin' metal. It's the labor that's involved because you have to suspend the engine, the transmission, suspension.
It's
just
probably a $2,000 job. I would think so.
Oh, okay.
It's probably in that area. I bet you the subframe is probably $800.
But I, you know what? I would check it out because, like I say, Neil, if you've kept the vehicle in good shape up until now and the rest of it looks okay, you know, it may be worth doing.
Yeah. Well, we got it on the phone. Is that something you're aware of, that it's the rest of this?
Yeah. I mean, if you check around, we were talking about this before, and again, we're saying we're not naming brands, but if you check that brand, you'll also find another model they have that they have an actual bulletin out that has a subframe problem. That's not unique just to the Quest.
Interesting. So, and I think
that's
the Quest.
Interesting, because all the comments that deal with the rusted passenger side subframe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Almost every comment was, after contacting Nissan, they're suggesting it's not a design problem and they have no interest in you know, pursuing any assistance to
because of the age of the car. They're looking at the car and saying it's 8 years old when we're washing our hands of it.
How long do we have to be responsible for something like that?
Actually, 10 years.
And I can live with that, but if it was a design problem and they had all kinds of information about it, hopefully it would have been.
Go on the internet. It's called NHTSA. NHAS, something like that. NHTSA.
National Highway Transportation. That's the American...
The American Safety Association, or safecar.com. All right, go on there, punch in your serial number, and see what comes up.
Oh, okay.
Because if the information's in the U.S., it transfers sometimes to Canada.
All right, Neil, good luck.
Thanks for the call.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in, yeah. But there you go, perfect example of, I mean, aside from, you know, Patty Freeman on the back.
Had he rust-proofed his car?
Really, he's got that look on his face like your wife. I told you so. I told you. If you would listen once in a while, you know, I do know the answers, you know.
It's the truth. All and right. I think the other car is the Pathfinder.
Well, you know what? And I've buried two Hondas. An Acura TLs, yeah. Same thing. Yeah, yeah. It rusts out. That's where the drain pipe goes down.
I like to leave the pipe going into the car because the carpet smells so nice. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey, we got a Barbara on line three. I wonder if that's your wife. You're in big trouble,
we'll
mister.
We'll talk to Barb next.
And then we're going to talk to Harry. And if you've got a question, we've got one line open, so give us a call. This is Dave's Corner Garage here in Liberty Village. We'll be out of here back in just a moment.
From the gas guzzler in Grimsby to the hot rod in Halliburton, you're tuned up and tuned in to Dave's Corner Garage on Zoomer Radio AM 740. To reach Dave and Alan, call 416-360-0740 or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.